Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Pastor, you got to get up, Pastor, for a minute. Turn around and look. This is what me and Pastor pray for every week. Look at this. Amen, right? Amen, right?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday, yeah. Amen. Welcome, everyone. Amen. He is risen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you on this beautiful morning, Father. We thank you for the resurrection, Lord, as we praise you this morning. We thank you that you went to the cross for our sins, Lord, that you died on the cross for our sins, Father. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that because you live, we also live. May you bless this day. May you bless this time. And everyone here, Father, and all of our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so my sermon title today, there's so many sermon titles for Easter, but I think this one's pretty original. Remembering the resurrection, right? Keep it simple, right? Amen. During the early 1920s, there was a communist leader named Nikolai Bukharin. I think that's how you pronounce it. He was sent from Moscow to Kyiv to address an anti-God rally. This is in the 1920s, okay? For an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as if the whole structure of belief was in ruins. Then questions were invited to the people. And an Orthodox church priest, looks something like that, I'm sure, he rose and he asked to speak. And he turned and he faced the people. And he began to speak, and he gave the Easter greeting. He said, "He is risen." Amen. He is risen indeed. And instantly, the assembly rose to its feet and came back loud and clear saying, "He is risen indeed." Amen. Amen. So, it's said that this same Eastern Orthodox Church was the first to commonly use this greeting of, "He is risen." And their tradition says that it was Mary Magdalene that first used the term when she was addressing Emperor Tiberius in Rome after he had risen. Amen? So she had told him with the good news that Christ had risen from the dead. But of course, we're more familiar with it from today's text. Amen? Where the angels first said, "He is risen." Amen? That's what we're familiar with. So, and yes, this is the same Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, that is being destroyed as we speak. As apparent Orthodox Christians on both sides fight this war, both for land and for religious rights, I believe. Amen? So I believe this is a very prophetic war, and I believe this is also a war about religion. Amen? And so it is very prophetic. But it's said, and the reason I say that is on both sides, they say that on both sides, before they send the tanks and the soldiers in to fight, that the priests pray over the soldiers. The priests pray over the tanks as they're leading them into battle. So even on this Holy Week, the battle rages on. Amen? The battle rages on, and lives are being lost. But the real question is, how many souls are being saved? How many souls are being saved in that land? Amen? And the Bible says in Matthew 24 that we're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Amen? And but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Amen? This is prophetic. So you see, no matter how much it hurts, prophecy must be fulfilled. And no matter how many battles are fought, the ultimate war has already won. Amen? The ultimate war is already won because He is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. So please continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. Amen? Amen. Now, on this original Holy Week, I want to take you guys on a quick journey, okay, of what Jesus did in the days leading up to the resurrection. Okay? And so last week, I preached on Palm Sunday, and we talked about Jesus making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Amen? And as was prophesied in Zechariah. And then on Monday, Jesus cursed out the out-of-season fig tree for having no figs. Amen? That was on Monday. And this was symbolic because in the Old Testament, the figs represented the nation of Israel. Amen? And Jesus was declaring that the nation of Israel had become spiritually bankrupt. That's why he cursed the tree. And then on Tuesday, Jesus spent all day in Jerusalem debating with religious leaders, teaching parables, and healing the sick. And he also drove out all those that were selling and cleansed the temple. Amen? We all remember that too, right? That was Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, Jesus was anointed by Mary in Bethany. Okay? And you remember that as well, right? With the perfume, right? While Judas complained of the waste of this expensive perfume, right? That was on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, Jesus and his disciples observed the Passover and had the Lord's Supper in the upper room. Amen? Yes, that was on Thursday. Hallelujah. And then on Friday, Jesus was arrested, mocked, ridiculed, crowned with thorns, and crucified, and said it was finished. Amen? That was on Friday, and we had our Good Friday service, and that was an amazing service as well. Amen? And then Saturday, Jesus was in the tomb. We all know Jesus was in the tomb. And there's much discussion as to where he was or may have been during this time, right, spiritually, but we don't really know for sure. Amen? We don't really know for sure, but we do know that his body lay in the tomb. Amen? So, on the first day, leads us to verse 1, okay? On the first day of the week, Sunday, very early in the morning. It says very early in the morning. Are you guys early morning people or not? Amen? Yeah? Yes? Okay. Like me, if you spent half your life working second shift, third shift, or graveyard, historically, you're not a morning person. I know I'm not. Amen? Okay? But I'm getting better at it. Because I get older, I find myself waking up earlier for some reason. I guess that's how it works. I don't know. That's why Pastor Rick's always bugging me like at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know. Of course, he didn't hear back from me until about 9 or 10, but, you know. So I may be getting up earlier as I get older, but not this early. Amen? They say it would have been between 3 and 6 a.m., okay? 3 and 6 a.m. So these women and the disciples, obviously, they couldn't sleep. Amen? They couldn't sleep, and with all that had transpired in the last few days, I guess we can't blame them, right? They couldn't sleep. So the rest of the verse says that the women arrived early and took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Amen? So they went to the tomb. God bless you, brother. And so it was a Jewish custom to visit the grave, just like it's an American custom to visit the grave. Amen? Because the grave is the last place that we actually have contact with the individual. So a lot of times that's where we like to go to pay our respects and to shed tears. Amen? But we know that there lies the remains of an individual until the resurrection. So that has a lot to do with it as well. Amen? Amen. But the Jews had this custom that they would visit the tomb. They wouldn't visit the tomb, or that they would visit the tomb for 3 days because they believed that the spirit of the dead hovered over the body for 3 days. Amen? So they would visit the tomb for 3 days until it had really started to decay. But that was just Jewish superstition, okay? These women had come to anoint the body at this time because they couldn't do it before because of the Sabbath. Amen? Because it was on the Sabbath. So they were trying to do what would have already been done during a proper Jewish burial. They were trying to make it a proper Jewish burial. So they were coming to anoint the body, and they were expecting a body. Amen? They were expecting a dead body, but what they found was an empty tomb. Thanks be to God. Amen. What they found was an empty tomb. So, in verse 2 it says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And now in the Gospel of Mark, we're told that these women were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, and that they were on their way there. They had asked themselves before they left, my wife asked me one day, she said, how were they going to move the stone when they got there, right? So in Mark it says that they had asked themselves how they were going to move the stone before they went, amen? And how they were going to... So the stone probably weighed a couple of tons, right? There's no way these women were going to be able to move the stone and then roll it uphill too, right?
Yeah.
So they knew it was going to be an improbable task to accomplish, but they also knew that God was going to make a way. They trusted in God. They went ahead and went because they knew God would make a way. And so just like these women, we have to trust that when we're serving our Savior, God will always make a way in our lives. God is always going to make a way no matter what we're going through and what we're in the middle of. God will always make a way. Whether we're working, whether we're broke, rich, poor, you know, when we're serving the kingdom, the Lord always provides. And we will always persevere. Amen. These women were not sure how they were going to accomplish their task, but they trusted that God was going to make a way. They trusted that God was going to make a way. And more importantly, they had no idea, but rather than delivering spices, they were going to be delivering a message. Amen. A very important message. Verse 3 says that when they entered it, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. So we know these to have been angels in human form. Amen? They were angels in human form. A lot of times we think of angels as invisible or ghostly forms, but these look like two men. And the only thing that stood out, it says in this text, is they had super bright clothing on. Amen? Which was unique for those days, right? But probably it would just be a fashion statement today. Amen? Some kind of battery-operated shirt or something. I don't know. But to them, it was frightening. Amen? It was frightening to see them gleaming like lightning, right? Like lightning. That's right, brother. And then verse 5 says that in their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? So first of all, they're bowing down to angels, right? They're bowing down to angels. Again, we see people in the Bible bowing down to angels. And remember what I said in last week's sermon? I said that if someone bows down to an angel, and it is a theophany, right? A theophany is God on earth, you know, in the flesh, amen, or in a body, amen. So if it was a theophany or God Himself, they're always told that they're standing on holy ground, right? In the Bible it says you're standing on holy ground, amen. But if they really are angels, if they're really angels and not God, then like in Revelation 19:10, the angels will say, don't do that, I'm a fellow servant, right? Don't worship me. There's only one God. Don't worship me. Get up. Amen? That's what they'll say. So these angels, that's what they would say. And Jesus was alive. He had been raised from the dead, and these women were looking for Him in a graveyard. These women were looking for Him in a graveyard. So the angels, of course, asked Him, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? So these women were staying on the course of serving their Savior. Even though they thought He was dead, they were still faithful enough to come to the tomb. Amen? They were still faithful enough. So here we are, over 2,000 years later, and we as Christians, we know He's alive. Amen? We know He is risen. Amen? He's risen indeed. That's right. But are we living our lives like we know He's alive? Are we living our lives like that? Amen, brother. As a risen, are we living our lives like He's a risen Savior, or are we living our lives like He is still crucified? Yes. Amen. That's the question we must ask ourselves. But because he's no longer on the cross. Amen? He's no longer on the cross. And we must focus more on the resurrection and less on the crucifixion. Amen? Amen? Sometimes we make decisions as if Jesus isn't there to help us. We may say things like, oh, I can handle this without prayer. I can handle these little things over here. I'm strong enough to deal with this by myself. But the truth is that we don't have to do this life thing alone. We don't have to do it alone. If you're a born-again Christian and you know that Jesus is alive, then He should play a part in every aspect of your life. You should be praying Him into every situation in your life. We should have no fear when we have faith in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. We should have no fear. It's a great way to live. Amen? Psalms 118 says, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Verse 6 says, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Amen. I love that. And verse 7, the Lord is with me, He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. I look in triumph on my enemies. Are we living in fear or are we living in faith? Amen? Faith over fear, right? I love that. If we truly believe He is risen, then we should also have faith over fear. Every day, in everything we do. So in verse 5, these angels are kind of saying to these women, they're saying, why are you living your lives as though Jesus is still in the tomb? Or maybe even still on the cross? They're telling them, He is risen. Amen? He's risen indeed. In the villages of northern India, a missionary was preaching in a bazaar one time. And as he closed, a Muslim gentleman came up and said, you must admit, we have one thing that you have not, and it's better than anything you have. The missionary smiled and said, I should be pleased to hear what that is. The Muslim said, you know, when we go to Mecca, we at least find a coffin. But when you Christians go to Jerusalem, which is your Mecca, you find nothing but an empty grave. Yep. Right? Yep. But the missionary just smiled and said, that is just the difference. He said, Muhammad is dead. Muhammad is in the coffin. And false systems of religion and philosophy are in those coffins as well. But Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is to include all nations, all kindred, all tribes, is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And all the power in heaven and on earth is given unto Him. And that is our hope. That is our hope today. Amen? That is our hope. And so in the next verses, the angels say to the women, He is not here. He has risen. And there are those famous and life-giving words, amen, that we use every Easter. Thanks be to God for those words. We should be saying them all year, amen? We should be saying them all year in the church, everywhere. The rest of verse 6 says, remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee. Jesus had told them again and again, but they either didn't hear it or they didn't want to believe it. But Jesus had told him, amen, that he would be raised again. And so the Son of Man is Jesus, and the sinful men would be those who condemn and crucify him. And then, of course, on the third day, he would be raised again. Amen? Now, these 3 days, I got a next slide. These 3 days that he spoke of are not the same as our 3 days today. Amen? These are different. Jesus was only in the tomb about 38 hours. Okay? He was in the tomb about 38 hours. A brief part of that time was before 6 p.m. on Friday. Okay? Because he died at 3 p.m. Amen? And, he died at 3 p.m. and he was buried before 6. Because that's when the Sabbath was going to start. They had to be done before 6 p.m. because the Sabbath was the next day. Amen? So a little bit of time on Friday counted as one day. That's day one. And then from 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday, Sabbath would be another day. Amen? And that's how the Jewish calendar worked. That's how their days worked. It went from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, rather than midnight to midnight. So, 6 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday was day two. That would be another day. And then from 6 p.m. Saturday until he came out of the grave on Sunday, that would be the third day. That was the third day. Amen? So, then in verse 8 it says, they remembered his words. After the angels told them this, they remembered his words. And they're like, oh yeah, now I remember, right? After they've been told so many times, right? Now I remember. Well, I'd like to hope so. He told these guys multiple times. And I want to read in Luke 9:21 and 22, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Amen? That was the first time. And then he says it again in Luke 9:43. He says, while everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. Told him again, amen? And then in Luke 18:31, he says, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him, and on the third day, he will rise again. He told them in detail, right? And they still forgot. Amen? So he's telling them in complete detail. Then in verse 9, it says, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. So the women were telling all the disciples. Amen? Remember, there's only 11 because one of the disciples had already left, right? Judas had already left and committed suicide. Amen? Judas had already left. So, there were others besides the disciples as well. So they went and told the 11 and the others. Verse 10 says that it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and others who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. So think about who we're dealing with here, right? These were the apostles. Amen. These men walked with Jesus. These men talked with Jesus. These men, they just didn't believe it. Amen? They didn't believe what the women had said. And the women who witnessed it and talked to the angels came to them and they wouldn't believe it. The apostles were already convinced, right, that Jesus was dead and he was in the tomb. They were convinced that that was it. It was over. They were going to have to see him for themselves to believe this tale that the women were telling them. They were going to have to see it for themselves. So, now why did they not believe what the women were telling them? Well, first off, they didn't expect it, right? They figured it was over. They weren't expecting it. Amen? Second, women in this day were not trusted or eligible witnesses under Jewish law. Amen? So whatever women said, it didn't really stand in law anyways, and they weren't trusted. So they would have to see Jesus for themselves. Amen? But we still have an empty tomb, right? We still have an empty tomb. There are many skeptics who don't deny an empty tomb, but they try real hard to explain the reason for this empty tomb. Amen? They try real hard to explain the reason for this empty tomb. Other than the resurrection, of course, right? Yep. So one of the reasons that they give, they say that the disciples stole Jesus' body. Right? The disciples stole. The disciples were in no mood to steal a body. Amen? They were hiding in an upper room, right? They weren't going to go fight these soldiers and steal a body, right? They were hiding in the upper room. And then how were they going to move a 2-ton stone uphill anyways? Right? So they're hiding in the upper room. And then number two, some say that the Jews stole the body. The Jews stole the body. Which makes no sense because once the early church started to spread the word that Jesus was alive, then they would have brought the body out and said, no, he's not. He's right here, right? So that shot down. Strike two, okay? Then they said that they went to the wrong tomb. It was the wrong tomb. That's why it was empty, right? Wrong tomb. So the women went to the wrong tomb. Peter and John raced to the wrong tomb. The other disciples went to the wrong tomb. The Sanhedrin went to the wrong tomb. Even the angels went to the wrong tomb, right? Amen? So everybody went to the wrong tomb. Amen. So just, and all they had to do was ask the owner of the tomb, right? They laid Jesus in the tomb, right? Just ask the owner. He would have told them. And then their compadre Nicodemus was there too, right? Just ask their compadre, right? Hey, what happened, right? So, and then theory number four, the swoon theory. The swoon theory. This is the kicker of them all right here. This says that Jesus was on the cross, but he didn't really die. Okay? He didn't really die. He looked like he was dead, but he was still slightly alive when they put him in the tomb. So, classic case of burying someone alive, I guess, right? And then they say that the spices from the burial clothes and the dampness of the tomb revived his body. And then he moved the stone and walked out of the tomb. That's number four. Amen? Okay? So, right. Trying real hard though, right?
Yeah.
So you would have to be, I replaced the word I was going to use up to with not too bright, okay? You would have to be not too bright to believe any of these theories, amen? Not too bright. But some people will believe anything for sin. Amen? Some people will believe anything for sin. Remember, also, there were more than 500 eyewitnesses. Amen? More than 500 people saw Jesus at the same time. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8 says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." That was written by Paul, amen? This would have happened 20 years before Paul wrote that. And yes, at the time, there were many eyewitnesses who were still alive, amen, to confirm what he was saying. But the most important one that was still alive is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He was the most important one that was still alive. And because he is risen, amen. Amen. In our last verse 12, Peter got up and he ran to the tomb. And bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. We know from John's account, right? From John's account, that both Peter and John ran to the tomb together. As a matter of fact, John says that he won the race. He got there first. Amen? He got there first. But I think maybe Luke didn't mention that because he didn't want to upset the founder of the church. Okay? He didn't want to upset Peter. Amen? So he didn't want to say that Peter lost the race. So when they arrived at the tomb, they saw the grave clothes lying there in perfect order. They saw the grave clothes lying there in perfect order as if a body had just passed out of them. And when they saw this, they believed that they had not yet seen the risen Jesus. But they knew something powerful and they knew something miraculous had happened to leave the grave clothes the way they were left. Amen? It should have been stuck to his body and right? So they knew something amazing had happened. And we can know that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? But unless we know His words, we wouldn't know what the resurrection is really about. Just knowing that He rose from the dead is not enough. Amen? We need to know His words. We need to study His words. What it really meant. It meant that the payment Jesus offered on the cross was perfect and it was complete. Number one, that's what it meant. Number two, it meant that the cross was the payment, but the tomb was the receipt. Amen? The tomb was the evidence. That was the receipt for the payment. Number three, it meant that God's love and man's hate battled at the cross, and God's love won. God won. It meant that because Jesus was raised from the dead, we can be resurrected with Him. Amen? Because He lives, we also live. Amen? Thanks be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, stop looking for the living among the dead. Amen? Stop looking for the living among the dead. Our hope and our joy and our peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. Amen? He is risen. Hallelujah. Happy Easter, and God bless you all. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, on this amazing day You have given us, Father. We praise You. We thank You that You rose again, that we may live forever with You in the heavenly realms, Father. We ask that You continue to bless us all here at Amazing Grace. We ask that You bless everyone here today, Father God, and that You make this day amazing as You always do. Lord, may You go before us in all we do, and may we always give glory to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.